Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, praise God. As you're being seated, go ahead and grab your Bibles. If you're just joining us, one of the things that we do here at The Rock is we go line upon line, precept upon precept. And I'll tell you what, it's an exciting endeavor that we've been in the book of Hebrews. We've been going through it. And it's just neat to see what God is doing in His church and to see the Word of God and to see some amazing things. Last week was a milestone for us. We got into Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We made it through chapter 9. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The 9th chapter. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Today, God's got some great, mighty things in store, and I just know that you're going to be blessed. I am blessed by the Word of God. I get to hear it. It's just amazing what the Holy Spirit has in store. So as those who are coming in, if you've given your heart to the Lord, praise God, get ready, grab your seats. It's okay. We're excited for what God's got. This message is for each and every one of us in this place today. The title of this morning's message is this, Out from the Shadows. Out from the shadows, out from the darkness, out from the place of question, out from that area, the shadows. If you think about it, let's talk about this for a moment. Let's describe this, what we're talking about, the shadows. A shadow is an image. It's a cast of something that is displayed. You know, think of it like this. As you're standing on the ground, maybe you've seen an airplane pass over the sky or over the sun, and you've seen the shadow where a cloud has cast a shadow over the earth. You know that that cloud is not physically on you. That airplane is not physically going to hit you or harm you, but it's its shadow that passes through. And as we've been reading in the book of Hebrews, for those of you that are just joining us, Hebrews is really taking a look to the Jewish believers of the Word of God, but also to you and I. It's presenting us the Old Testament, the need for the Old Testament, the design of it, and why it's important to us today, but it's also pointing us to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we understand that the Old Testament in Hebrews the 8th chapter was something that was imperfect. God designed this. He didn't realize, oh, after He created this law that we would call the Mosaic law, He didn't say, oh, I made a few mistakes here, or I overlooked this here. But God realized that this was a shadow. It was something that would point us to the image of ultimately where God had for you and I. And so today we're going to discuss coming out of the shadows. Now, I wanted to address a specific subject, and I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit has moved and the Spirit of salvation, God's salvation is in this place, because truly this message is for you and I, a message of encouragement, but it's a message of encouragement to you and I who believe in Christ. And today I want to address something. I want to address this. It's called the guilt complex. The guilt complex. Has anybody in this place, now this is a loaded question, I'm going to be honest with you right off the bat, it's a loaded question. But has anybody in this place ever done something that you knew was wrong, you said something, you were mean to somebody, or you did something that you knew was wrong, or whatever it might be, and you felt guilty about it? Anybody in this place? Anybody? Okay, almost every hand. Now those of you that did not raise your hand, we're going to cast the devil out of you afterwards, okay? We've all been there. We've all experienced this. Now, today I want to talk to you about something. I'm going to call it the guilt complex. And let me talk to you about this. The guilt complex comes from a sense of consciousness. Consciousness. You and I think of conscience. We think of Jiminy Cricket, the little voice on our shoulder that tells us what's right and what's wrong. Don't do this or do this or stay away from that. Walk away. Our conscience. The original meaning of conscience means to know yourself, to know oneself. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9th chapter, we were talking about this, the shadow or the Old Testament, that the blood of bulls and goats was unable to cleanse the conscience of the one who was sacrificing. But we heard about Jesus Christ being the one that cleanses our conscience. You see, so conscience is something on the inside. It's the inner being of man. It brings to us the awareness of sin. You see, before Adam and Eve fell in the garden and they walked in the presence of God and God walked with them, they did not have conscience because they were with God and God walked with them. But the moment that mankind, that humanity fell and that sin entered into the world, sin brought along with it conscience, the knowledge of good and evil. And because of conscience, conscience set something into motion, the law of works. The law of works. And from this moment forward, you and I live in this time. Let's talk about this. Conscience came with sin. It produced a guilt complex that set into motion the law of works. Conscience, man's conscience forever pricks him to do something, driving men to good works of one kind or another with the hope of bringing the guilty conscience to rest, with the hope of setting to rest or setting to relief the guilty conscience. Has anybody, now those of you that raised your hand, that those of you that were brave enough to admit you felt guilty at one point, has anybody ever, like maybe you got into husbands or wives, you got in a fight with each other, or maybe you did something and you knew you were wrong. You felt bad about that. And so, you know, you said, well, you know, I'm going to go over and above. I'm going to wash the dishes, or I'm going to fold the laundry, or I'm going to go out there and I'm going to mow the yard, or I'm going to go buy a gift. Men, you know that you go buy flowers, good works, right? Kind of your conscience is trying to provide relief from that guilt. But you see, we have dead works as mankind. Everything that we do on our own, every works that we do on our own is dead, meaning that there's no life that we can bring to them. Hence, our works are over and over and over and over again. The law of conscience is in every single man. We can choose to sear it or to ignore it by not heeding, or by ignoring the word that it speaks to us by not heeding its direction or its example in our lives, but it's in every man. But through Jesus Christ, the believer. Look to your neighbor and say, the believer. Look to your other neighbor and say, believer. Now half of you looked at me and said, believer. So look to your neighbor and say, believer. Look to your other neighbor and say, believer. Now see, I'm doing this already because I want to make sure you're here with me today, because you got to get this, all right? So I'm going to make sure you get, I'm not looking for your amens to root me on. I don't care about that. But what I am trying to make sure today is that you get this. Because when you and I get this, our lives will never be the same. So, to the believer, Jesus Christ, the believer may have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man, as we see in Acts the 24th chapter. We can be clear of our conscience, rid of the guilt complex. This was never possible under the law of sacrifices. This was never possible under the law of sacrifices, but through Jesus Christ, it is now possible. So with that in mind, as we talk about the guilt complex, I want to take you to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're going to look at verse number 1 through verse number 4. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 1 says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. It's not the original. It's not the actual. It's just an image of it. It's like a photograph. If you've ever seen a great Ansel Adams photograph or something like that, the picture is not the actual. It's an image of that scenery. It's different to be there, to stand in that position, to see that as it is. So the law was a shadow, an image of things, of the very image of things to come. It can never, with these same sacrifices, which they continually offer year by year, make those who approach perfect. Verse number 2 goes on and says, For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If you and I could kill a bull, or you and I could kill a goat, and because of that, offering it to God, if it would make us perfect on the inside, we wouldn't have to do it again, and again, and again, and again. And you say, Pastor Luke, well, we don't. I'm glad that you've noticed that. We'll talk about that. For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consciousness or self-knowledge or to know oneself of sins. Verse number 3 goes on and says, but in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Every year there's a reminder of our sins. And verse number 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of goats and bulls, or bulls and goats, could take away our sins. You see, so the law was a shadow of the image. It was the outline of it. How do we find out the source of a shadow? If you've ever stood there and wondered, what is a shadow from? You start at the end and you begin to walk through it. You journey through it. You go to it. And eventually, as you walk in the shadow, you will come to its base. And at its base, you will see the image. You see the Old Testament, the law, the Mosaic law that you and I do not live in, do not live under. So we fail sometimes to understand it. What was its purpose? It was a shadow that would bring to us the image, the light of God. Jesus Christ, as it says in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 3, Jesus is the express image. Jesus is the scenery. He is the source of the shadow. The shadow sought to bring us to God. It served as a tutor so that we could understand what God has. The Bible says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent Jesus which means now you and I live in a blessed time where we are out from the shadows, out from the darkness, no longer looking, no longer striving to see what is God's will for our lives. Now we have the express image of God's glory, of God's goodness, of God's will through Jesus Christ in our life. And because of that, there are some things that we can grab a hold of in our lives that will bring us to a place that we no longer hold on to this guilt complex or this conviction that we hold on to of the wrongdoings that we've committed in the past. Because ultimately, it's God's desire for you and I to not carry that weight. Jesus is the express image of his person. Today, what I want to do, I want this to settle in your minds. I want you to remember this. See, the ultimate goal for any preacher is not to come up here and spend 30 minutes of your time just talking so that you walk away and say, wow, that was good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Luke, good message. But rather so that you get the word of God. So that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 10 years, whatever it might be, you remember, you apply it to your life because the word of God should never return void. So what I tried to do today, instead of taking Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 1 through verse number 4, and devise, you know, 3 or 4 cunning points that you might remember in order 1, 2, 3, 4, I decided let's do a little different. So maybe if anything you can remember, well, Pastor Luke did something a little bit different. It wasn't the same as normally. So we're going to start at verse number 4 and then work backwards to verse number 1. We don't normally ever do that. We're going to read the Bible backwards. But I believe in doing so, we're going to see some amazing things that God has designed for you and I. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the image of good things. We are no longer in the shadow now. We are in the light. Speaking of sin, speaking of the guilt complex that you and I have, we're going to discuss some amazing topics. So today, we're going to look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse number 4. Jesus Christ, the image of good things, number 1, carries our sins away. Carries our sins away. Now you say, Pastor Luke, I understand that. Yes, I'm glad you remember that in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, we talked about the blood. Does anybody remember the blood of Jesus? Remember that? One of the things that we talked about, I'm glad that 8 of you remembered, but either way, the blood of Jesus justifies us, is one of the things that we said. Justifies. Pastor Jim had an amazing example. Justified, meaning just as if we did not sin, right? Or he used the example like this. We were removed from the crime scene. So we have been removed from the scene of the crime. The blood of Jesus covers us in that. But see, I want to take it one step further. I want to show you something. The Word of God says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 4, it says, it is not possible, not possible, not probable, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Not take us away from sin, take away sin. But you see, what's not possible with man, Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. Amen. Jesus Christ is the express image of God's goodness, of God's glory. Jesus Christ is the image of God's plan in our lives. Therefore, we have been removed, justified by the blood of Jesus Christ from the crime scene. But not only have we been removed from the crime scene, but Jesus Christ has taken the weight of what we have done. And he has removed it from us as well. He has carried away our sins. A burden that is heavy. Like I talked about, speaking to the subject of the guilt complex. We've made some bad decisions in our lives. Is anybody there? You don't have to say hallelujah, amen, because I know you're already there. But we have made some bad and poor choices in our lives. And what happens is you and I, even though we have been removed from the crime scene, choose to carry the burden or the weight of those bad decisions through the course of our life when God says in the Word of God that Jesus Christ carried away our sins. He has taken the heavy burden off of our back and walked away with it so that you and I no longer have a burden or have a weight on our shoulders that we could not contain on our lives. He has carried away our sins. In Ernest Gordon's autobiography, Ernest Gordon wrote an autobiography called The Miracle on the River Kwai. Now, there was a movie that you might have heard, or at least you might have even heard of the title. You have no clue what the movie's about. That's okay. Maybe some of you saw it. It's called The Bridge Over the River Kwai. In Ernest Gordon's autobiography, he recounts being in captivity with Scottish soldiers in World War II under the Japanese captivity in the jungles of the Burmese jungle. And there the Japanese soldiers were holding these prisoners of war and forcing them to work on the Burmese Siam Railway. Japan had intended to invade India during World War II, and they were using prisoners of war to build this railway into India so that they could plan their invasion. Now, in the course of this, these prisoners were malnourished. They were not fed. They were forced to work under horrific examples and horrific conditions. Sometimes the heat of the jungle would reach 120 degrees. They were stripped of their clothes and worked only in loincloths, not given proper and adequate tools. They were driven to a place of jungle law or barbaric behavior. They were fighting with each other over food, over things. They were bickering amongst themselves. They were killing each other because of the pressures that were placed upon them. And there was a time in this autobiography or this recount of the Burmese Siam Railway that one of the Japanese officers, they came to a tool check. They would continually check and repeatedly check the equipment to make sure nobody would take or steal equipment to try to escape. And so they had an equipment check, and there they laid out all the equipment, and the Japanese officer counted the shovels, and a shovel was missing. So he lined up all the men in the squadron and he said, "I demand that the shovel be presented right now or else." As they got together and they tried to figure out where was the missing shovel, who was the guilty person, nobody could come to a conclusion. The Japanese officer lined them up and he took his pistol out and he says, "If I don't see that shovel right now, I will not hesitate to kill each and every one of you right here, right now." The men didn't know what to do. They were bewildered. They could not answer for this burden. And then a man stood forward and he said, "It was me that took the shovel." He stepped forward out of the line and the Japanese officer picked up a shovel, and he beat that man to death with that shovel. That man died that day. The soldiers there carried that dead soldier to the next checkpoint so that they could keep him with them, so that they could bury him with some form of honor instead of just leaving him there to die in the jungle. And as they got to the next checkpoint, they laid out all the equipment again, and all of the shovels were accounted for. The Japanese officer had miscounted the shovels. Nobody took anything. But an innocent man came forward and he says, "In order for everybody to stay alive, I will take the burden. I will take the weight." And it set in motion something that changed those men forever. From barbaric behavior, they began to act like brothers. They began to take care of one another. They began to care for one another, to carry the burdens of each person's day-by-day activities. Until the end, when the Allies came through and we saw victory in World War II, they stood in front of their captors. And instead of attacking them, instead of jumping on them, instead of murdering them or killing them or giving them the justice that they deserved right then, right there, they said, "No more hatred, no more killing. Now what we need is forgiveness." Jesus Christ was that innocent man that came and he took the burden that we could not bear. The weight of our sins, the convictions, the guilt that we carry for the wrongdoings that we do. And he says, "It is not yours to carry. I will carry it for you." Because we no longer live in the shadows, Jesus Christ, he bore for himself our sins on his own body on that tree, as the Bible says in 1 Peter, so that you and I could be free from the guilt complex of sin. The innocent took the burden for us. Today we're talking about the image of good things. The image of good things, number two, out of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The image of good things, number two, he leaves the past. Jesus leaves the past in the past. Anybody ever seen Lion King? Okay. Participate. It's 10 o'clock. Anybody seen The Lion King?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, most of you. Good. Some of you are like, "Pastor, I gotta watch that Disney evil." Okay, either way. You remember that the scene, there's that monkey, right? And Simba's the king, and he's got all this, you know, he feels bad. He's got guilt for his dad's death. It wasn't even his fault, right? You know what I'm talking about? Remember the monkey takes a stick and he whacks him on the head? Ow! Why'd you do that? What did he say? Remember, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. Getting it? Some of you are like, okay, it's settling in. It's in the past. You see, we've made decisions. We've done things. We can't take them back. There's no time machine. There's no DeLorean showing up with Doc coming out of it, you know, saying, "Okay, let's redo this." We've made decisions. We live in them. But you see, with Jesus Christ, because we don't live in the shadows anymore, because we live in the express image of Christ, our past is in the past, which means it's left there, not carrying us. Because why? Jesus Christ carried it away first and foremost. Look what it says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Verse number 3, because we're going backwards. "But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year." We're not reminded any longer by God of our sins. Have you ever been in a relationship? Maybe you were the guilty party where you harmed somebody. You did wrong. Maybe you did something where you said something wrong, and that person reminded you over and over and over of the hurt that you caused them. Maybe you were that person, and you just couldn't let it go. And you had, every time you saw that person, you just remembered, man, they did this to me. My mama always used to teach me as a kid, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Anybody ever heard something like that? You know, you're not going to get one over on me again. I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to let it go. But you see, our past is in the past. We don't have a God that says, well, listen, okay, since you want to make bad choices today, since you want to think that thought, let me just remind you, you did that yesterday, this. Let me just spin it all up on for you. No, we have a God that says, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. I carried it away. It's not there anymore. We've seen those relationships deteriorate because of holding on to the things that once held us down. But you see, as Jesus Christ carried away our sins, that means that God remembers them. Listen to this. God remembers them no more. As a matter of fact, I'll put it on the overhead. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter says, I am he, speaking of God, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not, what? Remember your sins. God himself, the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who knows the end from the beginning, does not remember your sins because the past is left there in the past. We've got to learn to let it go and give it to God. The Bible says in 1 John, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us of our sins and of unrighteousness. In 1880, James Garfield was elected president of the United States. After 6 months in office, he was shot in the back by a revolver. There he was taken to the hospital, and the doctors used his pinky finger to try to probe in the gunshot wound to find the bullet because it didn't come out. And he couldn't find the bullet, so then the doctor took a silver-tipped probe and he stuck it in that wound and he tried to locate the bullets to find it to remove it so that the president could live. But he couldn't find it. So there they take him from the hospital back to Washington, D.C. During the summer months, Washington, D.C. is very hot, very humid, so they took him back there despite the comfort. They developed an air conditioner. The very first air conditioner in the United States was there. The Navy brought blocks of ice and used fans to cool him off because of the heat and because he was growing weaker. And throughout the course of the summer months, they continued to probe the wound out over and over and over again to try to find this bullet to remove it. They even asked Alexander Graham Bell, who was working on the telephone, to devise a metal detector so that they could find the metal in the president's body and extract it. Later to find that even though Alexander Graham Bell's metal detector did not work, they found out that it actually did, but the president was laying on a metal spring mattress, and it threw it all off. The president survived. Through July, August, and September, he finally died after 200 days in office, the second shortest term a president has ever served in the United States. After 200 days in office, he died. He did not die from the gunshot wound. He died from the infection of the open wound that the doctors left to probe for the bullet over and over and over again. You see, when we hold on to our sin, it's like taking a wound and picking that scab off it, leaving it exposed to the elements. When God says, hey, I've carried your sins away from you. They're no longer yours to carry. Why are you holding on to them? Your past has been left in the past. Let it heal and move forward and do not look back. Because God, if it's important or if it's good enough for God to remember, guess what? Or not to remember, it's important enough for you and I to forget it as well. And so we've got to learn to let it go. Let it go. That's for you, Paul. Sins held in secret only force the wound to become more and more infected. The psalmist says that our sins are laid before him. Our secret sins are revealed in the light of God's glory. God already knows everything that we've done. He knows the guilt that we're carrying. So as soon as we give it to God, as soon as we remove it from ourselves and forget it and leave it in the past as God has for us, we find ourselves in a position that we no longer carry around this guilt complex. Why? Because Jesus Christ, number one, carried it away from us. Secondly, he left it there. He wasn't walking right behind to remind us and smack us over the head with our burden when we make mistakes, but rather he was there. He removed it from us and now it is no longer in existence in the eyes of God. We are seen as pure. Are you guys with me today? Last one for this morning. Jesus, the image of good things. Jesus, the image of good things, number three, brings us to perfection. So first, he carries our sins away, removes the guilt complex. Secondly, he erases it. And now we are brought to a place or a position of perfection in God, which means our sins have been washed away. We have been justified. They have been carried away. God doesn't remember them, which means to you and I that God views each and every one of us in Christ as though we were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the fall. We are sanctified, justified, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is not just soap and water. This is the only thing that can cleanse mankind. So God sees you and I as perfect, as justified before God. And now because of that, you and I are working, are moving, are being brought into a place of perfection with God. Look what it says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 1, then we'll go to verse number 2. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. The law could not do it. The shadow could not make you and I perfect in the eyes of God. Verse number 2 says, wouldn't they cease to be offered? For the worshipers once, listen to this, purified. The worshipers once purified would have no more conscience of sins. But this is what the law could not do. You see, God has taken us from a place of impurity to a place of purification, of perfection with Him. Can I show you an object lesson? Can I give you a physical example of that? Would you bear with me for a second? All right. I got something that's kind of neat here. I want to show this to you. So I'm going to get this all out. I'm going to get this ready. So just bear with me for a moment. I'm going to just hold on to these for a second. This is purified water. Now, I've removed the label for copyright reasons so that people don't say, well, Pastor Luke drank certain brand of water, okay? This is the good stuff, though, all right? It's the purified, it's cold, out of the fridge. I mean, it tastes, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm parched. Hold on. Oh, that's good stuff. That's the good stuff. This is us. God said, let us make man in our image. Purified, perfect, without sin. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5th chapter, without spot or wrinkle, blameless before God. Here we are. Good stuff. Oh, you know, man. Well, that's some good stuff. That's refreshing. That's us. God says that's His desire for you and I. But then a problem comes. Sin nature comes into man. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now this is also water. But this water has dirt. I took this from where my dogs lay in the backyard, and I just mixed it all together. So it's got a little bit of dirt, got a little bit of dog hair. And I mean, it's Fred, are you thirsty? No. But this is the good stuff, right? But this is what sin does to us. It taints us. That's why it says the old law could not purify you and I. So now I have this. This is kind of a cool device. Now this isn't necessarily important what it is or what it might be, but let's just say that this little baggie right here, that right there, that represents you and I. That's our bodies. This is God designed us to be perfect, to be clean. That's our body. Now this little surgical tube and that bag right there. We'll call this time. Okay, that's the beginning. This is time. That's the end. All right. Are we all there? Are we tracking together? Right. Okay. You with me? All right. So. What happened is, God said, let us make man in our image. Here it is, the good stuff. Purified, sanctified, clean. That's some good stuff. Oh, you know. That's it. That's it right there. So God says, let us make man. So there we are. Boom. Creation. Looking good. Things are working real good. Going right. So here we are. Come on, water. All right. Looking good, it's clear. It looks good in that bag. See, I mean, you can see it. It's clear. But uh-oh. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Fred, are you sure you're not thirsty? Okay. All right. So now what happens is sin enters our life. Guilt, condemnation, issues. Now, even though that was purified water, it's tainted. We've been tainted by God or by sin before God. But you see, through Jesus Christ, what the law could not do, now all of a sudden we are purified. Now, I don't want you to necessarily pay attention. Give it a couple of minutes. But let me take you somewhere. Go with me to the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. Romans in the 8th chapter, verse number 1. It says this. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. No condemnation to those who are in what? Christ Jesus. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's very important to understand. Not no condemnation because Jesus Christ died so the whole world is free from sin. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. but who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Look what it says, verse number 2. For the law of spirit in spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. From the law of sin and death. Verse number 3 goes on and says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, remember the shadow? God did by sending his own son in the likeness of flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse number 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here we find ourselves, we're tainted. We're left in a place where it's just not working good for us. But here, this little device right here, we'll call this little device Jesus. He's our purification. So what happens is we go through life. Now, I got to do a little thing right here because did this to me first service as well. You darned it thing. This is like a preacher's nightmare, by the way. When an object lesson doesn't want to work. There we go. Jesus is that purification. What it means is that those who walk according to the Spirit, the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. See, we're brought to perfection. Perfection doesn't mean that we're free from sin. It doesn't mean that we're incapable or incapable of sinning. It means that we have been given by the grace of God, the ability, the way out. We have been given the ability to endure. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the light, which means now you and I have the grace of God in our lives to endure our lives, to become like God. You see, the Bible tells us that perfection regarding the word of God, the Bible, Hebrews, the 6th chapter says, let us move on to perfection. Remember that? Talks about maturity. When we become more mature in God, when we begin to understand God, then we begin to think like Christ. We begin to act like Christ. As we begin to think and act like Christ, we begin to become like Christ. And as we do, our lives are changed. Why? Because we are transformed, not by the outside, but we are transformed in conscience or self-knowing. We are no longer who we once were, but now we are no longer aware of the sins that we once committed. Now we are in the eyes of God purified. Removed the taint, removed the dirt, and now in the eyes of God, we are perfect. We are becoming like Christ. Therefore, if we are perfect in the eyes of God, we are no longer able or no longer necessary for us to carry the weight of sin in our lives. What it all boils down to is one word. Let me say one word. Believe. It all boils down to belief. Now, I know I've already used Lion King. I've already used, Frozen. This is like, I'm not talking about Disney magic belief crap, okay? Oh, I just said crap. I said it twice. I'm talking about God. So let me ask you this. Do you believe the word? Do you believe that God sent Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus died? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe that Jesus carried our sins away? So if you believe that the word of God is true, you believe that Jesus came, you believe that he died, you believe that he carried our sins away, that means that God forgets our sins. If God forgets our sins, then you need to believe it because the word of God is true. And if God forgets our sins, if God has removed us from our transgressions, from the guilt complex in life, simply put, what it means is you and I have got to believe that we are free from guilt and that we have passed through the course of time. Jesus Christ has purified us, and now we're clean. The silt, the dirt, the dog hair, the bacteria, it's all gone. Purified in the eyes of God. Remember, I asked, do you believe? Fred, do you believe? See? It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Why? Because Jesus Christ has brought us to a place of perfection. He has removed the impurities. Now you and I are capable and able through the grace of God to be like Christ. Did you guys get something out of that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.